I'm going to ask the Lemas to come at this time, and we are going to recognize these folks because Matt is stepping away from being on our staff for 7 years of leading the kids' ministry of this church. So, yeah. I think they love you in here, too. Yeah. 7 years of impact, and I was thinking about that because we've been here 25 years ago. We started the church, and out of that 25, seven of them, Matt has been the kids' pastor, baptizing kids, taking them to camp, doing all kinds of things, cracking an egg on his head, and whatever it takes to help kids to want to come back and to love Jesus with all their hearts and to live out the destiny that they have for them. And I was thinking about that and how there are kids that are now older that are now in ministry or getting ready for ministry. There are kids that are now teenagers that are coming back and serving in the kids' ministry. And so it's just the ripple effect of your lives. And so thank you so much for 7 years of faithfully serving this church. And we got a little gift that we're going to give to you today also. But in a moment, I want you, church family, to go ahead and get ready to pray over the Lemas. Today, Pastor Josh, our next-gen pastor, he's going to be overseeing things. And so that's a memento that you can keep of 7 years of faithful serving to this church. And so stretch your hands this way, will you, church family? And let's pray over these folks. Father, we just thank you for the Lemas, the Lema family. God, we ask that you will just continue to be faithful in their lives. Lord, you have shown yourself faithful, and we know you're not about to stop. And so, God, we just thank you for the impact, the ripple of their lives, their ministry here in this church, Lord, that will continue for years and even decades to come if Jesus tarries. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them, that you'll lead, guide, and direct their lives in this next season, that you will just help them to follow after you. And Lord, we know that what you start, you will finish. And so, Lord, today we just commit their lives. And, Lord, we also commit the kids' ministry at Crossroads unto you, knowing that, Lord, you're not finished either with that, and you're going to continue to do great things in the days ahead. So, God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise for every kid that's been changed, every life that's been impacted, every family that's had the impact of the Lemas upon them. And, Lord, we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Give him one more hand. All right.
One day to feed the world is a simple, meaningful way to change lives around the world. It lets you and your church demonstrate to your community that you are committed to living a life of kindness and generosity. So what does one day look like? Everyone can participate in transforming the lives of impoverished and hungry people by giving one day of their annual wage. That is your annual salary divided by 365. One day to feed the world is about equal generosity, not equal giving. When you participate in one day, your one day can change others every day.
Isn't that incredible? And that's coming up in just a couple weeks, and already people are giving toward that to help make a difference. We love making a difference around here. Speaking of that, what I want to talk to you about, and let me set this up. If Jesus, okay, just imagine, If Jesus asked you to do something, would you do it? How many do it, right? If he asked you. Okay, what if he commanded you to do it? Right? Some of you are like, you're going somewhere with this, right? I'm not going to talk about giving, okay? So you can relax, some of you. But what I am going to talk about is something recorded over and over in the scripture that Jesus was so clear about. You know, it was so crystal clear what Jesus commissioned or said for his followers to do, that there's like no wiggle room. Anybody know about wiggle room? Right? How many, when you grew up, your parents would ask you or command you to do something, but you saw some wiggle room, and they were like, hey, you didn't do what I asked, you know? Oh, you meant make my bed now. Oh, right? Or whatever it was. And so this statement that Jesus makes is so crystal clear. It is so tight that we just have to look at it and say, well, that's what I'm going to have to do. And this statement that Jesus made is just moments, perhaps, before his feet and body are lifted off the planet. So these are some of his last words to his followers. And some people have said that your last words could be some of your most important words, right? Because, I mean, you're like, I'm out of here in a moment, I think. And there's something I want to say. And so Jesus in Matthew 28 says something so clear, and it's called the Great Commission. If you grew up in church or you went to a seminary or Bible college or whatever, I'm sure you heard it. But this is the Great Commission, or like the great commissioning of Jesus' followers to do something. And again, it's just going to be crystal clear. So let's go ahead and read it together. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, here's what Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You mean the nations I don't like? You mean the people groups that I don't like? Yeah. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, take a look at this promise, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the question is not, should I go? The question is, why am I not going? Because I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go to all people. And again, the question is, is that for certain people? There's no wiggle room here. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. So if it's for all of us and we're all supposed to go and make disciples of people, then how do we do that with confidence? Because I don't know about you, but this is one thing that Jesus said to do that I've had lack of confidence in before. Anybody with me? You're going to leave me up here by myself today. Everybody got your halo all polished up this morning. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're not only called, but today I want to help you to have your calling with confidence. Does that sound good? In John chapter 10 and verse 10, which, by the way, is the foundational scripture for our church, in that verse, the first part of it talks about the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Jesus warns us there's a thief on the loose, and here's what he's trying to do in your life and the lives of other people. But I have come that you might have life. And this is the part of our church. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I want to announce to everybody today, if this is your first day at Crossroads Church or whatever, I want you to know that this church has come that you might have life and have it to the full. This church did not come here so you could have religion. You had plenty of options for that already. This church did not come here so you could have some new rituals in your life. This church did not come here so that you could feel accomplished and good for the week because you came here. Now, I hope you do feel good about coming here and go out like that, but that's not the reason. The reason why we're here, Jesus said why we're here, is that you might have life and have it to the full. God wants this church to be a life-giving church. And the devil doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want you to be free from sin. He doesn't want you to be free from bondage. He doesn't want you to let go of that habit that's messing up your life and all your relationships and things like that. He doesn't want any of that to happen. He's come to steal from you. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so today, I want to announce over the devil that he's going to lose this fight, right? Come on, somebody. He's not going to be able to win. But here's the thing. I think the enemy is okay to a degree if you get saved, but if you'll stay silent. Because at least that's just one person. See, at least that's just one individual that's been delivered. That's one person that's on their way to heaven. That's just one person who has heaven in their heart, who has the joy of the Lord in their lives, who's living an overcoming, victorious life. But the challenge is, we're not supposed to stay silent. We have a mandate from the master. And I don't know about you, but there's something between me and doing it that can hold me back. How about you? Yeah, there's excuses, there's things, there's intimidation, there's so I want to help you, church. I want to help us all to be better at doing what Jesus has asked us to do. What he's not just asked us to do, he's commissioned us to do. So how do we share our faith and reach one more for Jesus? In Acts chapter 1, Luke writes this writing, and he describes the moment, it seems like maybe just the seconds before Jesus' feet and body are going to lift off the earth, and maybe 120, 150 people are going to see it firsthand with him lifting off the planet, going up into heaven. And wouldn't you like to know what he said, like just before that happened? Well, we get to read it, okay? It's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what he says to those people that are there. He says, but you will receive power. power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit all summer long. Different ways he moves in our lives through the fruits of the Spirit and different things. And here's what he says here about the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power when he comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about right here. Yeah. And here's what's amazing is he's given us equipment. So maybe you need to write this down. We have a spirit to rely on. The Holy Spirit, he says, will be there. And so in this tension of knowing I'm commissioned, he said, go. He said, tell them. And in the midst of that, what do? I have a spirit to rely on. Because here's what else happens. There's another voice that wants to speak in that moment. How many know that when you think, oh, maybe because this person's telling me their hiccups in life at work, maybe I'm supposed to pray for them, and maybe I'm supposed to do it right here, right now. But whoa, that's like, I've never done that before, you know? And this voice says, that's right. You've never done that before. You're liable to goof it up. You're liable to say something wrong. You shouldn't go witness to that person. You shouldn't tell. You don't know enough scripture. Sit back down. Don't get out of the car. Don't go across the hall. Don't talk to that person in gym class. Don't go over that person at the swimming pool. Don't do that. You need to just calm down. Right? And so the enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I have come so the Holy Spirit will come into you and you'll have power. And I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always, even in the midst of it. I want you to know today that when you go to share your faith with somebody else, pray with somebody else, or whatever with somebody else like that, you're not going alone. You're not going alone. The Spirit goes with us. Here's how Jesus put it in Matthew 10, 17. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, check this out, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus sets this up, and it's so brilliant because, you know, he's not talking about, well, if I share my faith with this person and then they quit being my friend on Facebook, you know, if they quit following me or they make a bad comment on my comments or, you know, he's saying, I'm talking about, if you share your faith with somebody and you get arrested for it, and they bring you and they persecute you, and I'm telling you, people, this happens. We just had a missionary that we support email, actually text the other week, and said, hey, pray for a believer in our church because he just got arrested because of his faith. They found something on him. And we're praying for him so that he'll get out and be okay. And so I want somebody to know he did get out, okay? He did get out. So thankfully. But Jesus said, even if you don't, even if you have to give a witness, I'll be with you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you, and you'll be able to share things so that so that it's powerful. It's from Him. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen before. And maybe you have, where it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? You ever had that? I have that like every Sunday. Okay? Like that wasn't in my notes, you know? Is that, oh, wow, that was good. You know, or I'll have somebody come to me a week or two or 3 weeks later when I've moved on and teaching something else, and I'll say, oh, 2 weeks ago when you said whatever, and I'll be like, okay, because I don't remember saying that, all right? I'm just being honest, all right? There's times where the Holy Spirit, listen, I'm talking about something real today. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through you, to share with somebody else. But here's what you got to do. You got to start. You have to go, and you have to open your mouth. And then He says, I'll help you. But doesn't that take a lot of the pressure off? Because, wow, you know, I mean, God's in charge. And if I just go in His name, if I just get with that person, He could speak to them in ways that I can't speak to them. And that helps because, some of us, we may feel spiritually intimidated. Like, I don't know. I don't have, like, the Bible memorized. I don't know Hebrew or Greek. I don't know a lot of stuff and all. And so, you know, I'm just concerned. Jesus said, don't worry. Because if you'll go do it, I'll show up. I'll be there. So, in other words, church family, it's really not about you. It's about who is in you. Isn't that good? It's about who is in you. Now, let me remind you of who is in you today. As believers, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God who guides us every step of the way, who will help us to know what to say and help us, according to Acts 1:8, to have boldness so that we can go and share in this commission that God has commanded us to do. Isn't that good? So we have a spirit. We have a spirit within us. We're not going alone. We're not going alone. And here's what else you have. You have a story. You have a story to tell. You have a story that you can share with somebody else. One of my favorite illustrations of this is actually in the life of Jesus. And Jesus and His disciples were on their way somewhere one day, and as they were going, it was a long walk and everything, and they cut through this one area of Samaria that a lot of people would avoid if they were Jewish because they had some animosity there. And so the disciples get hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to be a theme in the story of Jesus. Because one time they were like, Jesus, you should just send these people away because they're hungry and I'm sure they need some food. Actually, I think they were hungry. I don't know. But anyway, Jesus, remember, He multiplies fish and loaves and feeds everybody, and it's awesome. And so on this occasion, they're like, we need to get something to eat. And so Jesus says, okay, you go ahead. I'm going to wait here. And Jesus waits at this well. Some of you already know where this story is going. And it's in the middle of the day. It's in the heat of the day. And like there's nobody around. But I think Jesus might have known somebody was coming. And this lady comes to the well to draw water when nobody else does. And there's a reason for that, a real good reason for that, why she would come at that time of the day. Everybody else would come early in the cool of the day, but she came in the heat of the day. And here's what Jesus does. Jesus initiates a conversation with her. And again, she's Samaritan, he's Jewish. Number one, we don't talk to each other. Because, get this straight, we hate you, you hate us. That's the way it goes. But Jesus does the unnatural. Have you noticed that? Like he doesn't stick to the script. And he certainly does the unnecessary, because he didn't have to talk to her. He could have said, you know, I'm a busy guy. You know, I'm sure she's busy. And, you know, I'd interrupt her here. She's got something to do and whatever. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he talks to her. This conversation develops, and you can read about it in John 4. And ultimately, why she comes in the middle of the day is because Jesus unveils to her that he knows why. He says, well, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And she says, sir, I think you're a prophet. Duh, right? I mean, this guy reads her mail. It's just crazy. And so then they keep talking, and ultimately she moves from thinking he's clued in, maybe has a spiritual gift of prophetic something or other, to, I think you're the one they talk about. I think you're the one they talk about that's going to come. I think you're the Messiah. And Jesus doesn't deny it. And she gets so, well, let's read it. In John chapter 4, verse 28, here's what happens when all this engagement comes. Then, leaving her water jar. Okay, she has such an encounter with Jesus, she forgets why she even came originally. She just leaves the water jar. She goes back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And watch what they do. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Isn't it something? Because, you know, what about if this woman was said, well, I'm not a real religious person, obviously. I've lived a jacked up life. How could God use me? I'm not a worthy person to go into the town. And all. No, you know what? God, here's the good news. God will use the most unassuming people to do the most incredible things for his honor and his glory. Because her story changed a town. And I want you to know today, you have a story. You have a story. If you're a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, a Christ follower, then you started following him at some point. What happened? So, I don't know about you, but there's some stories that I'm just like, oh. You ever have that? You know, some people tell their story, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, wow. And then you're like, you crammed a lot into 20 years. That was a lot. But there's a part of me, I'll just be honest, there's a part of me that thinks, I wish there was a little more coolness to my story. You know what I'm saying? Like, then I was delivered from this, and then God did this, and I was, but God didn't do that for me. Here's what God did to me, my story. I was about 8 years old. I grew up in church. I thought everybody did. Okay? I went to church 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, plus revival nights, prayer meeting nights, whatever kind of nights they could come up with. We had all kinds of, we were at church a lot, all right? So don't come to me telling me, hey, I have a hard time getting there Sunday morning, all right? Because you should be thankful, all right? You should just lift both hands and praise God that it is how it is today. Because we went all the time. But here was the thing. There was a day, and I still remember, when I thought, oh my gosh, my mom and dad, I'm convinced, are going to heaven. I just see their lives inside and out, and all, and I'm convinced they're going to heaven. But I don't think there's a family plan. I don't think that just because I live in the house that I'm going to go to heaven. That I need my own relationship with God through Jesus. And so I can remember as an 8-year-old boy about, I knelt down and I said, God, I need you in my life. I need you. I want to be with you forever. I invite you into my life. And I'm just telling you, when I was about 8 years old, Jesus came into my life through the power of his Holy Spirit and changed a little 8-year-old boy. And here's the greatest thing of that is afterwards, I started being very God aware in my life. And so, you know how you make some of the biggest decisions of your life between 0 and 25? I'm talking about big stuff. I'm talking about stuff that can change the trajectory of your future. And you make those big decisions when you have less than a full brain, right? Hasn't all been developed yet, according to science, till you're about 25. But here's the good news. For me, God helped me. God helped me to make wise choices and decisions in my life. And the reason why I didn't have some of the stuff that friends of mine had and different things that happened in their life is because of the wisdom, because of the favor, because of the power of God in my life. And what he did for me, he can do for you. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it, all right? So that's my story. But you have a story. Your story doesn't have to be the same. But I'm telling you, in America today, the best way to share faith, I believe, is your story. Because see, people can argue with doctrine. They say, well, I don't even believe in the Bible. Well, that's okay. You just need to believe me. Because I'm telling you, he changed my life. See, this woman didn't have a Bible degree. This woman is like the least usable candidate to go back and to hold a crusade in the town that she was from, because everybody knew her. Everybody knew her story. They knew the negative parts, but now her story has changed. And now she shares the change maker with this town. So here's how it works, folks. You share your before Jesus, like before, you know, when I was under 8 years old, you know, the before Jesus, then the Jesus came into my life. Well, what that looked like, and again, it doesn't always look the same for everybody, but this is what happened to me. I'm just telling you, this is how he came into my life. And then the after Jesus. and what he's done in your life. And for some of you, you have those stories where God didn't just reach down to the uttermost, he reached down to the guttermost. Come on, somebody. He reached down into the depths of depravity, drug addiction, alcoholism, violence, all kinds of addictions in your life. You couldn't get out. You couldn't see the light of day. You couldn't do anything to get out of that. But one day, Jesus came into your life and changed. If he did that for you, give him a little bit of praise right now. So we have a spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1:8, that's going to be with us. We have a story, you have a testimony, you have something to share, and you have an invitation to extend. This woman just said, hey, see for yourself. You just come, see for yourself. You give an invitation. So in other words, you can do this, church. You say, hey, would you just come to my church? My church is Crossroads Church. Would you just come to my church? Just be my guest. You just have to come one time. Just come to my church. And listen, if nothing else, you can do that. And the statistics say that almost everybody will at least be gracious to you. Most of them will want to come if you invite them. That's what statistics say. And by the way, it's not about Crossroads. So if you're not excited to bring people to your church, maybe this isn't your church. All right? Because you should be excited to bring people to your church because God shows up at your church. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. Now, we already read how Jesus said, I'll be with you always. But he says, it gets really good when two or more are there. See, it just multiplies. I don't know about you, but I like worshiping in my car, and there's times where I'll be driving and I'll have the radio on. I just feel the presence of the Lord in my car. But I love it when we all get together in this place and sing the same song at the same time. Come on, that's what heaven's going to be like when every tribe, every tongue lifts their voice to God. So he's always with. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the very gates of hell won't prevail against it. Here's what you get to do, church. You get to partner with your church. You get to partner with God. We put these cards on every seat today, and it's just a simple little card to invite people to a service that we're going to have in a couple weeks, about 3 weeks from now. We call it our Back to Church series because it's after everybody's kind of in the groove of school and everything else. And we're going to talk about, here's what we're going to talk about, relationships. Who doesn't need help with relationships, right? So we're going to talk about that. And that's an easy invite to somebody. So what could this look like? It could look like hundreds of woman at the well kind of people going out and sharing faith. Get your confidence in the story and see lives change with the Holy Spirit's help and a story. Because again, this woman, she didn't have a PhD. She didn't know Greek and Hebrew. She didn't know hardly up or down. She was asking Jesus about theology and stuff, and she didn't even have that straightened out. But what she did know is, once I was blind, but now I can see. What she did know is, one day this man came into my life like no other man that I've ever been with before. And I believe what this man did for me, he can do for you. Yeah, yeah. So we need to take a step of faith. And to encourage you in that, let me tell you a story about Edward Kimball. Probably nobody hardly knows that name. Edward Kimball was a very shy Sunday school teacher of boys, teenage boys, in the middle 1800s. And one day he just got such a burden for his kids. And he felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to him to go to the shoe store where one of the kids he knew worked. And so he couldn't fight it hardly, and so he went. And he thought, well, maybe I shouldn't talk and whatever, but he couldn't fight the feeling that God was in this. And so he shared faith with this teenage boy in this shoe store, and this kid became a Christ follower that day. And that kid's name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became one of the greatest evangelists of America, and one just scores of people. He established a Bible college, all kinds of things. It was just amazing. But it happened because Edward Kimball went in the shoe store. But then D.L. Moody was preaching and evangelizing, and one day Wilbur Chapman came to Christ and became a Christ follower. And Wilbur Chapman then shared his faith with a man by the name, actually a boy, again, a young man, by the name of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday became, again, one of the great evangelists in American history. He could hold a crowd. It was he had some amazing sermons, and people would just come to hear him. And one day, Mordecai Ham was in one of his services. And Mordecai Ham heard the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, that you don't have to pay for your own sin. You don't have to worry about that. God's already taken care of it. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he took your sin. And if you just receive him as your sacrifice for your sin, then it's kind of like you get in free. It's a free gift. And so he accepted that free gift. And Mordecai Ham was transformed by the grace of Jesus, so much so that he began speaking and sharing about faith in Christ. And one day in one of his services, a young man slipped in and sat in the back and was listening to Mordecai talk about the good news of Jesus. And at the end of that service, that young man gave his life to Jesus as well. And his name was Billy Graham. Yeah. And Billy Graham preached to 215 million face to face. He also was heard and is still heard by hundreds of millions through TV, radio, and the internet. And all of it started because a Sunday school teacher who was a little backward and shy, but felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit, trusted that if I go and if I open my mouth, He will fill it. And He did. And the ripples of Edward Kimball's obedience to God are still in effect. Can you imagine the line in heaven to get to Edward Kimball? Thank you for going to that shoe store. You didn't know it, but 150 years later, I'm a person. You can have the heaven you want to, but I think the heaven that I'm going to will know stuff like that. Paul says, we'll know stuff. We'll know things there. And that's part of what's going to make it heaven. You may feel like, well, who am I? You may be like Edward Kimball. You know, maybe I shouldn't, you know, should I, you know? Oh, no. You're not going alone. When you step out in faith in Kroger this week, Meijer, Target, school, work, the neighborhood, wherever, when you step out and go, Jesus said, and He promised, you're not going alone. You're not going alone. And guess what? I'll tell you what to say. But you got to get there, and you got to open your mouth, and then watch what I will do. Doesn't that sound exciting? Doesn't that sound amazing? Listen, church, if we get a hold of this sermon, this message would change the west side of Indianapolis. There were only 120, 150 people that heard Jesus say it the first time before He was taken up into heaven. Listen, the whole world's changed 2,000 years later because of that. What could happen today? Let's pray. Father, help us today to trust You. To trust You. To not just sing that we trust You, but to trust You that if we step out, if we will make the first move, if we'll go toward that person, You will go with us and You will speak through us. And so, God, today, help us to have the faith and courage, the real faith and courage to trust You more. If you're here today and you'd say, oh, Craig, I want God to use my life to make a ripple that would be impactful for generations to come. I want to be like Edward Kimball. I want to just be willing to step into whatever that situation is when I feel prompted by the Spirit of God. I want to be obedient to that and see lives changed and transformed for the glory of God. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hands? Come on, church, all over this room. Oh, God wants to use us. He wants to use every one of us. Lord, today, just like that woman at the well, Lord, some of us may feel like, who am I that I'm going to go? But Lord, she didn't have the pedigree. She didn't have all the things. She didn't have it all figured out. But what she did have figured out is You were God Himself. And God, today, what we have figured out is that You are God. You are true. You are alive and well. and working in our lives. And we have a story as a result to tell. So God, would you use our story this week? Would you use it in schools all across this community? Would you use it in businesses? Would you use it in neighborhoods? Would you use it just wherever we go? God, that conversation that just pops up when we're in that store this week and we think, boy, that's almost a setup. God, help us to know it is a setup, that you put us in that place. You caused that conversation to happen, and God, help us to be bold, to share our story, to share an invite so that someone's life can be changed, because we have no idea who it might be and what the ripple effect might have if we would just open our mouths. While we're still praying, there might be others of you who are kind of like the woman at the well. Maybe you made some bad choices. I mean, she certainly had her share. She made some bad choices, bad decisions, and different things in her life. But all of that changed when she came to know Jesus. And if you're here today, and maybe that's kind of like your story, you made some poor decisions. You maybe just gone your own way and whatever and tried to. But today you know that that's not working. And today you want an encounter with the living God. And I'm telling you what he did for me at 8 years old, what he's done for others, how he's pulled some people up out of the gutter and has changed their lives forever. He wants to do that for you today. And if you're here in this place and you say, oh, Craig, if that's true, and it sounds like it is, I want God to come into my life today. I want him to change my story. If that's your prayer today, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Just raise it up. Yeah, just raise it up all over this room. Say, yes, yes, that's me. I need you, God. And online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer after me. Come on. No one prays alone. Let's pray it together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all my sins. Today, I accept Jesus as my sacrifice for sin and as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life, change my story from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's praise God for stories that are going to be changed. The ripple effects on these screens are words that you can text right from where you are as a next step. The Bible says that once we've made a decision in our heart, that we should also make another decision after that to get baptized, to show on the outside what God's done on the inside. And so if you'd like help with that, we'd love to help you. Already there's a bunch of people signed up for the next baptism, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Also on the card, you can mark on the boxes, it says, I made a decision today to follow Christ, or I made a decision to come back to Christ, a rededication of your life. Listen, 2 weeks ago, 9 people checked the card. Last week, 7 people checked the card. That's amazing, right? 16 people in the last couple of weeks. Come on, you can do better than that. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's awesome. Listen, also across the hall, we have an elder over here in the Next Steps room who would love to talk to you about any of those things and to help you to take your next step on your spiritual journey. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come forward. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to pray another blessing over you as we go out of this place today, commissioned by God to have an impact on our community. I'm telling you, the whole West Side could be different if we would just go in his name. If you need prayer for any reason, come down this way after this prayer, and someone would be glad to pray with you or pray for you down here at the altar. Holy Spirit, we thank you today for speaking to us. And you're always with us. You're always wanting to talk to us and guide us and direct us. And so we don't have to worry. We're not going alone. You're going with us so that we can share with others. And so, God, I pray that you'll give us more confidence than maybe we've ever had before. Because we know that Hendricks County, the whole west side of town, can be different if we get a hold of this message today. So, Lord, we thank you that greater are you that's in us than he that's in the world. Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here at the altar to receive the prayer they need. And, Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.